This morning, we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It was a mystery to Thomas, one of Jesus' own close apostles. Even though Thomas walked with Jesus for 3 years, he heard him preach to the crowds that came to listen to him. He saw Jesus' miracles, but he still could not believe that any person could be resurrected from the dead. Both St. Thomas and St. Paul knew of the resurrection, but they knew it from a distance. It was not part of who they were, nor of what they could believe, until Jesus stood directly in front of St. Thomas and told him to touch him. Until Jesus had gotten St. Paul's attention and blinded him. That is when those two people believed, but then we heard of so many others who believed afterward. So this morning we heard of St. Paul's resounding statement where he told us of the great number of people who experienced Jesus and Jesus' resurrection. And then St. Paul talked about his own extraordinary conversion through his encounter with Jesus. So how do you and I approach the resurrection? Do we know it only from a distance, from more than 1,000 feet away, or even further? One of the newest skyscrapers in downtown Milwaukee is 32 stories high, just 52 feet short of the tallest building in Milwaukee. It is the Northwestern Mutual Tower. I watched it being built, and even before the glass panels were installed, the architecture was apparent. It is an absolute masterpiece. While standing outside, I saw how the new tower enhanced the skyline of Milwaukee. I wondered what it would be like to be inside that building. And because of a cousin, I had that opportunity. My wife and I got a personal tour. I saw the outside of the building, but then most importantly, I experienced what it was like to be inside of that building. The lobby is grand and it's spacious. There are two floors of cafeterias and restaurants for employees. One entire floor of that whole building is devoted to exercise equipment, room for personal trainers, spin bicycle classes, lockers, and more. The employees' floors have balconies, so employees have the option to sit outside and work. However, even though I saw the outside of the building and was inside, I still never spent any time working in that building, so I never experienced it in use. An architectural professor, Matthew Frederick, wrote this to his designer students. Reality may be subjectively engaged by which one person presumes a oneness with the object of his or her concern, or objectively by which detachment is presumed. Objectivity is the province of the scientist, technician, mathematician, mechanic, and logician. Subjectivity is the milieu of the artist, the musician, the mystic, the free spirit. He said that citizens of modern cultures, you and I, are inclined to value the objective view, and it's probably our paradigm. But both modes, the objective and the subjective, are crucial to our understanding, our full understanding. I believe that what Mr. Frederick is saying is that we can engage reality from the inside, and when we do so, we presume a oneness with it. On the other hand, we can engage reality from the outside, and if we do that, we presume we are doing so with a high degree of detachment. When we look at reality from the outside, we are detached observers. When we look at it, it's an objective way, by the way, to look at life. But if we really want to feel reality, to touch reality, to engage reality, to experience reality, then we have to directly immerse ourselves into reality. And that's a subjective way to live life. And as Matthew Frederick says, this is how artists and musicians and mystics, free spirits, and spiritual people live. However, to truly feel and fully live our lives, both modes of engagement are crucial to a complete understanding of life. Let me give you another example. Objective engagement of reality. Big words. A grand way of saying detached observation is the same as looking at a tree from 1,000 feet away. On the other hand, subjective engagement of reality, a grand way of saying direct immersion, is sitting under the tree and enjoying its shade. Returning then to my example of a building, detached observation is only looking at a beautiful building. But to directly immerse oneself is to sit in the building, in a comfortable chair, and enjoying a cup of coffee. Now, you may be asking yourself what architect Matthew Frederick, sitting under a tree, has to do with a sermon in a church the week after Easter. I hope to answer that question for you now by asking you this question. How do you view the birth of Jesus, the incarnation, and his resurrection? Does your paradigm, your worldview, approach the resurrection solely from the point of view of a scientist, technician, mathematician, logician? In other words, is your style to look at the resurrection only by assuming objectivity? Or is there room for the approach of the theologian, the artist, the musician, and the mystic? Do you approach the resurrection detached from 1,000 feet away? Or do you approach the resurrection by sitting with it and enjoying its shade and sharing a cup of coffee with Jesus? As Matthew Frederick so importantly said, both modes of engagement are crucial to understanding. We have to engage both the outside and the inside and then work to experience what life and God discloses to us. This is what St. Thomas experienced when Jesus stood directly in front of him. Just reach out, close. And then Jesus confronted Thomas and said, touch my hands, and then actually put your hand in my wound on my chest. Then Jesus told Thomas, don't doubt, believe. And Thomas's answer has resounded in history when he said, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus pronounced a beatitude to every one of us. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. In his letter to the church in Corinth, St. Paul shared his experience with the resurrected Lord. He went from being an outsider, an objective view, because of what he had heard about the resurrection, and he couldn't believe it either. But then he had the insider experience. And remember, what the resurrection means, it's not just the resurrection, it's the incarnation and resurrection tied together. Because it's Jesus being born and walking among us and loving and crying and sharing, all tied together. Now, what does it mean for Jesus or anyone else to share a life with somebody else? There's a soldier. His name is Joe Cerna, Special Forces Military. He was arrested for drunk driving. His case was transferred to the Veterans Treatment Court in Fayetteville, North Carolina. It was a specialized court established to deal with veterans' addictions. As part of his sentence, Judge Lou Oliveira said, Joe, you have to stay sober. And every 2 weeks, you have to take a urine test to show that you're not drinking alcohol. You have to prove it to the court. But in just a few weeks, Joe failed the test. He appeared before Judge Oliveira. He admitted to drinking, and when he did so, beads of perspiration just were flowing down his face. Judge Oliveira knew he had to put Joe in jail. That was part of the sentence. If he failed the test, you have to go to jail. However, based on what he saw, and he saw Joe perspiring so heavily, Judge Oliveira started to investigate Joe's military background and his current home life. The judge learned that Joe Cerna had served 3 tours of duty in Afghanistan and Special Forces. He had earned 2 Purple Hearts during his 18 years of military service. Joe Cerna's wife told the judge that Joe would wake up crying out in the night with cold sweats, and he would be kicking the sheets and blankets with rage, shouting IED and no, no. His flashback had a terrible effect on him and on his family. As part of his investigation, the judge found there were 2 instances that were remarkable in Joe Cerna's life. The first was a grenade explosion that put shrapnel all into Joe Cerna's face and knocked out all his teeth. The The second incident is what caused most of the nightmares. As part of a convoy, Joe and three other Special Forces soldiers were in a 19-ton RG-31 mine-resistant truck driving through Kandahar. They had one of these on display in Milwaukee a while back. They're absolutely huge. As they were driving down the road after midnight along a pitch-dark black road next to a deep canal, the narrow road gave way. This massive armored vehicle fell sideways, slipped down the bank, toppled into its side, into the canal. And then Serna told the story. The truck started filling with water, first up to his ankles, then his knees, then his belt line, his chest. He heard his team members screaming for help as the water swallowed them up. When the water had reached Joe's chin, he felt a hand release his body armor. The truck's doors would not open from the inside because the hydraulic system had been knocked out because the truck had fallen into the water and it short-circuited the electric system. Other Special Forces members from other trucks finally opened the door from the outside. Only Joe Serna survived. His team members had all drowned. Learning this, the judge still ordered Joe Serna to jail. He had failed the test. On the day that Joe Serna was supposed to report to jail, the judge told him instead, "I want you to report to the courthouse." He did so, and the judge then drove him to jail. During the drive, Joe Serna's t-shirt was soaked with sweat. He was highly agitated. In an hour after arriving at the jail, Joe Serna was in a cell dressed in an orange jumpsuit. When the heavy steel door of the jail cell slammed behind him, Joe's shoulders began to tighten. His heart was beating faster. He was flashing back to that armored truck. But just then, the jailer opened the door, and there was Judge Oliveira. And he stood there with two dinner trays of the evening meal, jail meatloaf. Judge Oliveira asked Joe Serna if he were ready. Serna asked where they were going. "We're not going anywhere. We aren't going anywhere. We are staying here." Judge Oliveira decided that he would spend the night with his fellow veteran in that jail cell. As evening fell, they traded war stories and talked about their families and their hopes for the future. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, Joe Serna fell off to sleep. The next morning, they both left the jail. This May, Joe Serna is graduating from college. Judge Oliveira was not a detached observer. Judge Oliveira directly immersed himself into Joe Serna's life. The judge compassionately entered into the person of Joe Serna in order to help him. As Christians, you and I, we can look at the resurrection from a proverbial 1,000 feet away and say we believe, the same way we can look at an architectural wonder, or we can look at a veteran with PTSD, or we can look at a person with severe emotional problems or severe financial problems, severe physical problems, severe mental problems, spiritual difficulties, addictions, or we can go inside a person and sit with that person and understand the person and begin to know who they are. Jesus was not a detached observer. Jesus directly immersed himself and continues to immerse himself in our lives. The crucial significance of the incarnation together with the resurrection shows that Jesus was with us and is with us, and through him we share in God's divine light. By embracing the resurrected Jesus and what he means to our own hearts and souls, the resurrection takes on a new life for us. The resurrection was not meant to be looked at from afar, from 1,000 feet away. The resurrection is the person of Jesus the Christ who wants to be part of our lives and who we are. And who he is then is the resurrected Lord of the universe. Just as we do not, and at least hopefully do not, know other people just as detached objects, so our personal spirituality is not to know Jesus as an object from afar. God's reason for the incarnation was to bring Jesus the Christ to as much of a level as we can humanly understand the divine. Jesus was a person who cried, laughed, loved, who was loved, who suffered and then was resurrected. And because of the resurrection, we have the assurance that we have closer union to God than ever before, and this close union takes place with Jesus at our side. Through the resurrection, the incarnation of Jesus takes on a great personal significance to us, as does his title, Messiah. And Jesus also confirmed that there is life after death. The belief we have in a Trinitarian God is strengthened, and the assurance that the Holy Spirit continues to be with us during this very age and time is reinforced. No matter our personal problems, no matter our nation's problems, no matter the world's problems, the Holy Spirit is here. Through the resurrection, our faith in Jesus' teachings, and perhaps even more importantly, the forgiveness of every person's sins, means that when we ask, we are forgiven. We're forgiven our trespasses, our sins, our wrongs, our rudeness, our debts. And just as St. Paul spoke of the resurrection to the church in Corinth and continues to speak to us through his writings, so the church, this church, continues to proclaim Jesus' resurrection week after week, for we are an Easter people. And Jesus' resurrection then is a simple proof of God's love for us. Allow me to share one more story. And this is Judge Oliveira's story, not mine. It's about a veteran suffering from PTSD. The veteran was in a deep hole. First, his family threw down a rope, but he wouldn't come out. Then a therapist threw down a rope. Again, the veteran did not come out. Then his minister threw down a rope. Same result. Finally, a second veteran came, and he too threw down a rope, but this time, he climbed into the hole with the first vet. The vet with PTSD asked, "What are you doing down here with me?" The second vet answered, "I'm here to climb out with you." God does not just throw us a rope. Jesus, the Son of God, has climbed into the deep hole of life with us. And together with us, wants to bring us and climb, have us climb out with him into the joy of life and light. Jesus does not only love us, but with his love comes his promise that we have life, abundant life. John's Gospel reports that. Jesus promised it. "I came that my followers may have life and have it abundantly." So by following Jesus and direct immersion into his life, we will have an abundant, blessed, joyful life, a full life. Jesus takes us from what can be a very miserable experience to an intense and rich life with him. Our prayer this morning is that we can truly know that it is by the grace of God that we are who we are. And we're given assurance that united with him, we can work to build the kingdom of God here now because of the grace of God that is within us. May we not just look at God's kingdom from 1,000 feet away or more, but may we sit inside God's kingdom and enjoy the shade and share a cup of coffee with our loved ones in God's presence. I want to conclude with the last sentences of today's gospel reading from John because I found what the author wrote so meaningful. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And through believing, you may have life in his name. So may our understanding of Jesus' incarnation and his resurrection be, through God's grace, our immersion into the mystery of who Christ is. Amen.